All right, this is North Shore Sports Night. We're going to put our billboard on in just a few minutes because we have Andover football coach E.J. Perry on the line to start right away here as coach is very busy. And E.J., how you doing?
I'm doing great. We're having practice right now. It's a beautiful night, so the kids are really hitting it. We're doing good.
All right, we won't keep you long then, coach. I appreciate it. Let's start right away. Opening night win, picking up we left off last year. Good win to open the season. Give us a quick thumbnail of it.
Yeah, it was the kids came out, you know, first game, a little bit of jitters. We've had it. We have a whole different line, but they played well. And then once we settled in, we scored on our on five consecutive possessions from the second to the third quarter. And then we let the young guys clean it up in the fourth quarter. And it was a good day for everybody because everybody got in.
Only giving up 8 points, Coach. Obviously, the defense was maybe a step ahead of your offense for most of the game.
It was for the first half because, like I said, it took us a little while. But once we got it going, we threw for 230 yards and rushed for 160. So we had 390 total offense. And,
Coach, you like that passing game. You guys have been so good with it. What are your strengths this year in offense?
It's similar to CJ's year when we played Gloucester and you guys first saw us. You know, we got EJ at quarterback, and last year he threw 26 TDs, and he had two the other night. We have a good running attack with the kid Anthony Christopher, so we like to mix it up. We threw 35 times. We completed 21. So we're gonna work on getting that a little closer to 70, but it was good. It was around 58. And then the run game, AC did a good job.
How much do you like to mix it up, EJ? Run versus pass, 50-50, 60-40, what?
We like to be about 60-40 pass.
Yep.
Which is different in high school, so we want to be 60-40 in the pass.
All right. What's your makeup this year? You got a lot of seniors on the team?
We got 27 seniors, the most that I've had since I've been here. That's a great number. We got out of those 27, we got 12 of them that start. We have a tremendous amount of skill, starting with Andrew Susie, our captain, and Brandon Marty. They're our two wideouts. They both had touchdowns the other night. We have a junior who's a remarkable wideout. He had 7 catches the other night, and he had a touchdown. So that's Gemmel.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 3 good wide receivers. The running back, like I already mentioned, was Anthony Christopher, and then our line starts off with Stamus, the only returning starter, and then he's building it. We do have a 6'7", 300-pound tackle who's a basketball player. He's got good feet.
Jeez.
You know, he's doing a nice job, and that's Max Piatti. So we're coming along, and we're looking forward. We're opening up the Thuin Stadium this week. They have a brand-new $4 million facility over there that's incredible. So we're excited.
Wow. Now they opened up with a big win this weekend, too, didn't they?
They actually lost. They were out the whole game, and they lost in the last 30 seconds to Malden in a great game, 37-34.
Okay. All right. I don't want to keep you, EJ, because I know you're busy, but I do want to get a hold of you later on in the season so we can talk a little bit at a less hectic pace here and fill out some of the storylines here and talk about some other things. But who do you expect to be your biggest challenges this year?
Well, obviously, it's central all the time.
All the time.
So, again, they were 4-0 in the league last year. We were 3-1, and we came in second. We played them 3 times, and all 3 games were good. And then this year we have Boston College High School coming to our place.
Whoa.
After Methuen. So
whoa.
We're excited about that, to have BC High come down, and that should be a good matchup for us.
Well, the good news is you won't have to play Central Catholic 3 times this year.
No, we're excited to renew the North Andover Thanksgiving Day. We've always played them, but we used to play them on Thanksgiving until 1969, and then they went away from that, but we still played them during the year. And now we're going back to playing North Andover on Thanksgiving.
Excellent.
So we're excited about that one, too.
Well, great start, EJ. Can we call you later on in the season and talk a little bit you know, more leisurely?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love talking to you guys. And you know, I'd like to talk a little college because of my brother. And I have a brother. So we'll get it going. But you guys do a great job. So I just love being on the show.
Well, I'm glad you got off to a great start. I talked with Kevin.
I'm going at night. Because we have the Jewish holiday in Andover, so we didn't have school. That's the only reason why we're going at night.
Okay. I talked to Kevin Bradley, the Whittier athletic director and football coach, and he knows a lot of people in your neck of the woods, so we got that in common. Coach, good luck and great start. And EJ, we will call you back within a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
You guys.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Coach.
Jeez, I cut him off and he was praising us.
Nice.
I know.
Well done,
I know.
Rick.
I know. Well, you know how it is. Anyway, that's
Rick. I'd like to give you five. They're good.
Andover. Yeah. You won a million. Andover football coach EJ Perry, great guy. We didn't get to talk to him very much last year. Great guy. His tentacles run into the National Football League with Bill O'Brien. He's a good friend of Bill O'Brien. I believe they coach together. And Sean Terrio, a former coach of Coach Perry's, with Coach Perry, I should say, now coaching Danvers. And Danvers opened up very successfully. We'll get to all that in just a couple of minutes. But let me remind you that this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill, by Honeydew Donuts, by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire, by Moore GMC of Danvers, Harrington Trophy, by 57 Chestnut Street in Lynn, by attorney Robert J. Madruga in Gloucester, by Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli, by the Lynn Museum, by the Columbia Insurance Agency of Lynn, by the Porthole Restaurant, by Lynn Auditorium, and by the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Whew, all of that. All right, anyway, we start off, Coach, big win for Danvers. Only a couple of schools in the region winning out of conference this weekend. Kind of an interesting scoreboard. But Danvers, very successful, 43-0 over Winthrop. Now, Coach Driscoll did mention in your pregame, your preseason previews, that they had a lot of brand-new guys on the team.
Yeah, and that's one of the dangers when you have a senior-laden team, as Coach Perry was just saying. He's got 27 seniors, and when you probably carry in the 40s on your varsity, he's going to be losing, you know, a lot of experienced backups. He said, you know, 12 of those 27 are starters, but those other guys have probably, through the 3 years, gotten playing time and are ready to step in and do the job, as someone around here likes to say. So depending upon, again, the amount of reps those players got, that how much time the coaches were able to give those guys during the course of the season, because, you know, Coach said he played a lot of his subs, his second stringers, third stringers during the second half and mainly the fourth quarter. That's experience time, that's growing time, that's learning time, and that happens. But when you're constantly in battles, in tight games, and you can't afford to take your veterans out, your younger guys tend not to get that experience of game condition, playing under the pressure, playing before crowds, and it makes it a little more difficult coming up that next year to perform at that higher level.
Big upset over the weekend. I think it was a big upset anyway with Wellesley beating Peabody 20-8. I know Peabody very disappointed about that. The prep winning. Masconomet losing to Melrose. Same thing in Masco. Rebuilding year for them, if you will, if we could use that phrase. Marblehead and Walpole. We're going to talk with Scott Cooper in a little while about that game. Walpole over Marblehead, 19-14. But Revere, we'll talk to Revere coach Lou Ciccatelli, starting out with a 35-0 over former GBL rival, I think they were in the GBL, Medford.
Yes, they were.
And you got Gloucester winning over Lynn Classical by a score of 27-0. And then you got the game you were at on Friday night was Beverly with a big win over Wakefield, 34-6. You'll talk to Coach Bauer later on in the week. And also English over Swampscott, 20-14. So those are some of the games. We had three of those games, of course, and they're, one of them is posted now. We'll have the other two posted for On Demand later on this week from last weekend. We're getting used to the new setup here with our new website. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, by the way, I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is our co-host. Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer. And when we come back, we'll check in with Gary Larrabee, sports writer for the North Shore, sports writer and sports historian as well. And we'll see what Gary has to say with the latest on golf news. We'll be right back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, we're back with sports historian Gary Larrabee, and Gary focusing mainly on golf for us here and on Saturday mornings on the North Shore Sports Desk on 104.9. Hey, Gary.
Hi, guys. How are we tonight?
Pretty good. Well, pretty good. It's football season for us. We get pumped, but, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know how the golf thing is winding down, but around here, golf is pretty good in the fall, too, isn't it, in terms of conditions?
Oh, it's been great in the fall the last five, six, 7 years, and but we've had some, you know, we've had two great summers in a row for golf, and lots of great stuff is going on around here competitively. And you know, most recently, we had a great finish at the Deutsche Bank Championship on Labor Day, and that certainly has added to the attention. Entering the third of the four FedEx Cup playoffs this week at a place called Conway Farms outside Chicago. And of course, the first two winners were Jason Day, the hottest player on the tour right now. And then Ricky Fowler, the man in the orange barf outfit.
Yeah.
He loves his orange on the final round. And they all go after last week's off week. They're playing at Conway Farms. The low 30 players after this week. These are the low 70 players in the FedEx Cup playoffs playing this week. We'll have the grand finale next week, four more days in Atlanta. But the big question this week is, where is Rory and where is Jordan Spieth? So that's the big question we hope to have answered this week.
If Fowler happens to win again, does orange become the new red for Sunday?
Well, that's a very good question. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
the guys are killing me.
He's a very likable guy, much more likable than the guy who used to always wear red. But we've got really 3.5, maybe even a big 4 now, and if Fowler can keep it up, it could make for a great finish up to this convoluted and really very artificial playoff system they've got. But looking forward to a big week at Conway Farms, and hopefully we'll find Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy by the weekend.
They've got to find a good third round, Gary. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Spieth hasn't made the cut, but I heard him talking today on a website that even if Spieth misses the cut for a third straight week this week, he'll still be in a position to win the whole thing if he can win the last tournament at East Lake. So it's contrived, but it's good showbiz, and you know, a lot of competitive golf, PGA Tour golf, is showbiz, and that's what we'll see this week and the next.
You know, certainly as far as Ricky Fowler, you know, he came on, he won a few tournaments early on, and then he seemed to plateau. He'd be competitive, but he didn't win, and he'd be close, and again, didn't win. And then he'd win one, and then he was there. And you know what, I watched on and off over the weekend, and I never got excited about him making a major rush, grabbing the lead, you know, taking the bull by the horns, establishing the lead, and then building on it. And even going into Monday, the limited that I sized it, I just never felt that he was going to be the guy that was going to walk away with it. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's exactly what he did.
Well, he got the gift. He got the gift when Stenson hit his T-shirt on the par 3 16th in the water, and you know, a hole before that, Fowler had made that transcontinental putt, which probably put a little bit of shock into Stenson. Even though he's a very seasoned performer, he won this very tournament at Deutsche Bank a couple of years ago, won the FedEx Cup playoffs and all that big money. But the fact remains, he choked. He didn't make all the shots. Fowler made all the shots the last nine holes, and we have a big four, and Ricky can solidify the big four if he can have another big week this week, maybe even win again this week. And but hey, you know Tim as well as it is so hard to win out there. And look, at Spieth's become a has-been these last couple of the tournaments, and we know he's not a has-been. We know he'll be a factor these last 2 weeks, but we just have to wait and watch how it plays out.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of people would be disappointed if he, you know, misses another cut, isn't a competitive in these three, and yet still, if he manages to win the last one, walks away with the $10 million prize. When you have had all these other guys competing really well and winning, you know, one of the three tournaments, maybe two of the three tournaments, and not getting that prize and feeling, you know, a little bit cheated because, you know, of the poor play that he's exhibited. We all know he's capable of so much better because we've seen it. We've seen it this year. And yet when push came to shove on one of the biggest stages, he failed to perform.
Doesn't take much, Tim, to play lousy for 2 weeks in a row. It doesn't take much. Well, it does take a lot to play great 2 weeks in a row, and that's a classic example with Spieth right now. And McIlroy's been no factor playing in only one of the two tournaments. He played at Boston, didn't play down in New Jersey, and it's the way the Tim Finchin couldn't have dreamed it up any better. There is a lot of interest in these last couple of weeks, and I think it's going to be a great final 2 weeks in the playoffs.
Gary, before we go to the women's side of things, with Spieth, is there an analogy? I think he's pretty young, isn't he, first of all?
Only 22.
Well, so is there an analogy, like sometimes these young guys in professional sports, whatever it might be, they burn the place up through mid-season maybe, and then they fade a little bit at the end. Their averages drop in whatever. Is that possible for Spieth, maybe just running out of gas a little bit?
Who knows, guys? It's golf, and you know, we've seen players disappear after having a great stretch. It happens, happen year after year after year with 1, 5, 10, 15 players. Spieth's been the player of the year, four tremendous tournaments in the majors, and this is more or less the wrap of the season. But anything can be done, Rick, in PGA Tour World Competitive Golf, from hitting the very top to falling to the very bottom. It doesn't take much. It's a very fine line.
Yeah, and they are super, super golfers, all of them. What else you got, Gary?
Well, let's talk about Lydia Ko for a second. She, yesterday at the Evian over in France, she became the youngest player to ever win an LPGA major championship. You know, she's from South Korea. Then she moved to New Zealand with well-to-do parents to work in a golf game. You know, she was a prodigy from a very young age. And she's become really the sensation on the tour, winning the Evian, which is the fifth and final major of the LPGA season. And we expect, obviously, for her to continue. She's won four, five, six, seven tournaments the last couple of years, several as an amateur. You know, NB Park has won two majors this year, and she's the player of the year. But it's great to see this Lydia Ko, great personality, far more of a personality than NB Park, another South Korean, by the way. Lydia Ko is great for women's golf, and we'll see how the rest of the season continues. But mm-hmm. She made history last weekend, well worth mentioning, Rick, in the big picture. And she's really a marvel to watch. Barely just turned 18.
Wow.
Amazing.
Gary, did we talk about her last year? Because when you mentioned her family moved to New Zealand, it suddenly struck that we had mentioned her before and the fact that her parents had the financial ability to take her to New Zealand and to work on her game.
Yeah, she won two or three tour events as an amateur. Then she got permission after she won another one, I think, to join and become a member of the LPGA Tour, and she's won three or four times. She wins the first major, and it looks like she's going to be the next dominant player on the LPGA Tour. But yes, that's one of the same, Lydia Ko, and it gives the LPGA Tour a little bit to hang their hat on and adds a little bit of interest. Not the same as the men, but pretty good stuff anyways. One last mention, guys, on the professional side, Rob Oppenheim, Salem-born, grew up a little bit on the North Shore, grew up as a teenager in Andover. He just missed making the top 25 money list as of 2 weeks ago to earn his PGA Tour card. He's now 27th.
Wow.
He barely made the cut this past week, and they have two more tournaments to go. I should say three more. And there's still a way, I guess, for him to get on the tour, but he has to win one of these next three tournaments before they wait until the Web.com Tour qualifying school. He'll have a very high position on the Web.com Tour next year, but that's not what he's playing for. But he wants to get on the PGA Tour, and it was a tough break a couple of weeks ago when he just dropped from 24th place to 26th place. They had last week off, then they played this past weekend. But he's 27th right now in money. He's a North Shore guy. We're rooting hard for him, and even though he's 35 years old, he could still very well become a member of the PGA Tour the next year or two if something good breaks for him.
Gary, you posted, you know, where he was on the money list, and I'm not going to make that public, but what does it cost a player on the web.com tour, which is like probably like the AAA of baseball, what does it cost a player to play a required number of tournaments throughout the year? What kind of expenses do they take on?
Same as the PGA Tour, Tim. It's $5,000-$15,000 a week. You know, hotels, caddies, travel, all the incidentals, entry fee every week. He's done okay though. He's going to make a few bucks this year, and he has some sponsors up in Andover, as well as his dad's thrilled to be able to provide a little bit of that sponsorship. And he just is expecting his second child very soon, and at 35, his years of making it out there are becoming very few and far between, but he had a close call this year, and I like to think he'll give it one or two more years, because he certainly seems to have the game, but he's had a little bit of a slump since he won his first Web.com Tour event about 3 months ago, and here, I'm afraid he's looking from the outside looking in, but he's the closest thing we have to a North Shore guy right now, trying to make it on the PGA Tour through the Web.com Tour, and we wish him the best of luck as he continues that quest.
Absolutely. Can you tell us what you're working on for the weekend?
Well, we have an interesting development developing over at Salem Country Club, guys. You know, they're going to be hosting the Senior Open in 2 years, and they're making an announcement later this week, which I will have in my column in the Salem News on Friday and the Gloucester Times on Friday. Which is well, if you're a golf fan, and you'll appreciate the news coming out of Salem, and it'll have major ramifications for the senior pros coming here in 2017. You know, will be a significant upgrade to the condition of the golf course. Already a great golf course, in great condition, virtually ready right now to host the Senior Open, but they've got almost 2 years to get ready, and it should be a fabulous event once it comes around.
Yeah, I was at, my buddy and I attended the last one, and it was such a great take, and I can just about guarantee you that we'll be back out there sitting along that fourth fairway.
John Daly, Davis Love, Langer, Montgomery, all those guys, hopefully Fred Couples. It'll be a great week. It might not be Palmer Play or Nicholas, but it'll still be pretty darn good.
Yeah, but it's all those guys that we grew up with.
Exactly.
Mike, yeah, it's great. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary.
Sports historian Gary Larrabee and sports writer Gary Larrabee. And I didn't have the right button switch, so we just went on the air. So our listeners missed the E.J. Perry interview. But
you're killing me.
It's going to be posted very quickly. We'll have it up there very soon.
Gary hears that.
And you'll be able to play it. Oh,
he'll be mad at me for weeks.
We got most of Gary's on. We'll be able to we'll be able to play it back very easily. It'll be posted up on our website very soon. So you'll hear E.J. Perry's interview as well. Coach Perry winning for Andover, and they're getting ready for a big game this weekend, of course, in football. All right, now, still to come, we're going to take a break. We will have Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli, and we're also going to talk with Bill Cahill. He's the Gloucester Boys basketball coach, but he's involved in a very important fundraiser, and we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes, and then we'll end it up with Scott Cooper, who's going to bring us up to speed with some of the goings-on around Swampscott and Marblehead in high school sports. So we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
If you come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
This is NSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.
Well, we're 0 for 2 in our phone calls. Just the way it goes sometimes. We expect to hear from Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli, and of course, Coach is very busy right now. And we want to talk to Bill Cahill about a fundraiser. That flyer should be right there, Bill, Tim. We can. It's right under your paper there. We can at least talk a little bit about that. Yeah, there's. You know Chris Silvera very well. Chris is an assistant basketball coach at Gloucester High School. He's also, I think he's a Salem State Hall of Famer in basketball.
Yes, he is. He was an All-American.
All-American, and he's an educator at Gloucester High School. Well, there's a big Chris Family Fund benefit, fundraising event that will be held on September 25 that Coach is going to talk about, Coach Cahill, at the mile marker under the big tent from 7 to 10 p.m. Donations are $20 apiece, and this is to support Chris and his family, who's undergoing treatments for an illness. And there'll be a food, raffle, DJ, silent auction, auction for tickets and information. Call Bill Cahill at 508-284-8170. Hopefully that's what people are doing right now. Mark Hubbard at 978-815-7735. Rosa Mortellaro at 978-491-8241. And John Pratt at 978-290-0646. You can donate online at GoFundMe.com/BigChris, and that's K-H-R-I-S. Chris Silvera, K-H-R-I-S, and you won't find a nicer guy.
Oh, my God, you're just such a tremendous individual. I remember following his career when he was at Salem State, and, he's 6'8", you know, and at the D3 level, you don't get a tremendous amount of really big men, but a gentleman. Okay, he just joined the faculty last year or the year before.
Grab it.
And
grab
we'll
it.
Get back to
it. Go ahead and grab it. Right now.
Oh.
Rick.
Yeah.
No, it's Tim, Coach. Come on.
Hey, Timmy, what's going on, buddy?
You can't tell us apart after all these years.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm listening to the broadcast. It's like cutting out. It's going and it's skipping out. Really weird.
Yeah, it could be on this end. We're having a little trouble with our server, and we're going to switch servers very soon. Hang in there with us.
No big deal.
Okay. Hopefully, skips out when Rick's talking.
Yeah, really. Well, listen, Lou, you dipped your toes back into the GBL this weekend and came away with a great start.
We did a real great start in a brand new stadium, and I got to tell you, it was a surreal night. Over 1,500 people there, so it was a great win.
You know, it seems more and more prevalent. High schools in the area are going to the artificial turf in the new stadiums on old locations, and it's certainly bringing the people in again.
Oh gosh, yeah! If you get a chance, you got to come down and see this. It's the turf is state of the art. It's one of the better turfs I've seen in the last couple of years. So yeah. Like I said, there was a huge crowd there, and our numbers were also up too. I got about 85 kids in the program again, so that's good.
Lou, tell me about the game.
Great game. So the opening night, when they ran court, sang the national anthem,
Is that right? That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Now you're name dropping because you guys have major league connections.
Unbelievable.
No, it was quite a night. I think.
Hey, wait a minute. Lou, did you have the Patriot Minutemen there firing the rifles too?
We did.
You did.
We had the Patriots.
You're killing me.
In the end zone, we scored 35 points. So that was those muskets were going off quite a bit.
I was gonna say they must have run out of ammunition.
No, not quite. But it was a surreal night, and the first points scored at the new stadium was a safety.
Really?
So that's pretty good stuff for us on defense. It set the tone, and we kind of never looked back from then.
You know, it's certainly one for the record books. Gee, do you remember the first points that was scored in Revere's new stadium?
Yeah. That's what I told the kids, too. I said, you'll never forget it. Your name will be in history forever.
Okay, so what's the makeup of the team this year, Coach?
Mostly a senior team. It's guys that have played together for the last couple of years, and they've all started as sophomores. I like my team this year. We've got a very, very bright outlook. I think we're going to be much improved. If Friday night was an indication of how we're going to play, that's a good thing. And we really believe this year that we can most certainly be in the mix for sure this year.
You know, certainly if you had a lot of sophomores play the last couple of years, there's a lot of hardship that gets involved in this during the growing process. And then when they get to that maturity point where they understand the offense, they're a little bit bigger, they're a bit stronger, they're a little bit faster, some of them, you know, and it all sort of comes together and they see the fruits of the labor.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, Tim. I mean, we took our lumps the last couple of years, and like I said, I thought we played inspired football last year down the stretch. We didn't pack it in. We made the playoffs. We won a game, and we played very well in the playoffs. And, I think the kids are finally learning the system. And, Friday night was a big win for us. And hopefully we're pointed in the right direction. We can keep it going.
All right, Coach. Who do you have this weekend? And what are you doing with your practice this week after having, played on Friday with such a big win, 35-0? How are you using that to prepare for this game? And tell us a little bit about your opponent.
Well, it's funny. You know, we watched film today a little bit, and, 35-0, you would think that we were king of the hill, but it kind of wasn't the case. We made a lot of mistakes on offense. There was a lot of room for improvement on offense. I think defensively, we're very, very fast this year, and, my thing with the kids every week is let's just get better. And if we can do that, I think we're going to be fine this year. We have Chelsea Friday night.
Okay.
Another old, very old GBL, if you will, foe.
Are you home and away, Coach?
No, we're actually home again.
Okay, nice.
Well,
nice.
After being on the road, I would hope so. That's great. Hey, Lou, great start. I'm so happy for you guys, and we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks as we're going to be down there with the Gloucester game.
Sounds good, guys. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
That is Revere Coach Lou Ciccatelli off to a great start, and a great guy win. Lose or whatever, he's always been so gracious and nice to us.
Is there anybody who comes on who is more enthusiastic than Coach?
I tell you what, they all pretty much, some are low-key, but Coach is up. He's up.
He is jacked. Every time we talk to him, he is just jacked. And again, through the tough seasons, his enthusiasm didn't wane. You know, his voice was exactly the same. He knew that the kids were young, they're inexperienced, they were learning. And, you know, when you're playing in a tough league like the Northeast Conference, it's unforgiving. The teams are going, if you're not on the same level, they're going to put points on you. But, as they say, what comes around goes around.
All right, yeah, everything is cyclical, isn't it?
Exactly.
No doubt about it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with Bill Cahill. We'll be right back.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, we're back, and Gloucester boys basketball coach Bill Cahill is on the line now. And, Coach, how are you doing?
Good, guys. Very good.
All right, a lot going on. It's football season, and it's, of course, that means it's field hockey and cross country and soccer and swimming and volleyball and all kinds of stuff. But more importantly, Bill, you're associated with a very important fundraiser coming up and for a good guy. And maybe you could flesh this out a little bit for us. What's going on?
Sure. We're having a fundraiser at the Mile Marker, which is right down the street on 133 for my JV coach, Chris Silvera, who's fighting the battle with cancer. Hopefully get a big turnout. You know, Chris is a great guy, Gloucester guy, teacher at the high school, and, just a great coach. And we all want to do something for him. So I'm a big fundraiser for Chris.
All right, and when is it? And you mentioned where, but when is it, Bill?
Okay, it's Friday night, September 25th, at the KPM Arena, Mile Marker, outside under the Big Tent, mm-hmm. from 7 to 10.
All right. And best way for people to get a hold of tickets or to donate?
They can either call me, on my cell phone, 508-284-8170. What most people are doing is they're going to show up that night at the door. They can get them at the door.
Okay.
Bill, you know, the way this came on to Chris, he wasn't feeling well, and he just went to the doctors, and then he was given the news. And we, at the faculty, and again, I'm sure the coaching staff felt similar. We were just, like, shocked. That he's walking down the hallway. He looks great. You know, you're talking. He's joking. And then a couple of days later, you get this news, and it floors you.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. You know, Chris is a big, strong, strapping guy. You know, always took care of himself. You know, never did any, the bad things. And it really floored, the basketball team, the coaches, the teachers. You know, anytime he hears the word cancer, you think of the worst. But Chris is a great guy. He's going to Dana-Farber, which is the best place you can go. Treatments are going well. Last time I talked to him, he said, the cancer was shrinking. So, that's good news. But, it'll be even greater news once he says that it's, gone right. He's got a clean bill of health.
We were given word on opening day of school at a faculty meeting that he anticipates being back before Christmas. And now people would love to see that.
Oh, absolutely. If that was the case, that would be great. But, like I said to young Chris, don't worry about anything.
Exactly.
Just worry about getting your health back.
Bill, what can you tell us about Chris Silvera in terms of basketball? Because we... I had him in school as a student, a great kid, an excellent student, worked very hard, and then he went on to Salem State, had a great career there, of course, after a great career at Gloucester High School, and now he's coaching. So, what do you see as his strengths in basketball?
His knowledge, he's an unbelievably, knowledgeable guy, with especially the big guys, the forwards, the centers. He's not a real outgoing, spoken person. But, he's a very demanding person, a demanding coach. He's a great listener. He's got a lot more patience than I do. I think that comes with being a good player. He's a Gloucester kid. I saw him as a gangly freshman, and he developed into a real good high school basketball player. Made the Hall of Fame in high school. And he really flourished at Salem State under Coach Jim Todd. He's Division III All-American, Salem State. Just a great kid, just a good coach. Hopefully someday he can be the leader of the program.
You hear the word gentle giant all the time, and he is definitely the epitome of a gentle giant.
Yeah, he doesn't say much. I think he's one of those type of kids that lets the action speak for himself and from his words. I've seen him mad a couple times, and it's not something you want to see because he is so big.
Exactly.
He's big, he's strong. He's just like you said, a gentle giant.
He comes with so much credibility because of his career at Gloucester, his career locally at Salem State, and most of the kids that are playing for you, their parents, may have seen him play, and they tell the stories, and the kids begin to realize just who their coach is. And maybe they should pay a little bit more attention.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's around 39, 40 years old. So he's been around. And, if you saw him play and the parents see him play, and every once in a while when we scrimmage, the kids go, wow, he's strong as an ox. We can't stop him. Kids are bouncing off him. you know, and Chris Pryor's on that. You know, he doesn't say much. He doesn't yell. He's not a, you know, not a loud, outgoing type of person. But, you know, the parents know. The parents really take to Chris because he's a real good teacher. He teaches the fundamentals.
All right, Coach, this thing is going well, I gather. I see these posters all around town, and I've talked to a lot of people who are planning to be there. So looks like it's rolling along pretty well for September 25th.
Yeah, so far so good. Hopefully we get a big turnout. We're expecting between 200 and 300 people, which would be awesome.
Okay.
And, you know, it's for a great cause.
Absolutely.
It's for Gloucester guy, a teacher, you know, a friend, a coach, just an all-around nice person, and we want to help him and his family.
All right, let's hope it's a sellout. Bill, I'll see you there in a couple weeks.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks very much.
That is Gloucester basketball coach Bill Cahill. Again, Big Chris Family Fun Benefit fundraising event will be held September 25 at the Mile Marker under the Big Tent. That's right on 133 in Gloucester, just before you get to the Boulevard, from 7 to 10 p.m. Under the Big Tent. Donations are $20. Food, raffle, DJ, silent auction. And for tickets and more information, you can call Bill Cahill, Mark Hubbard, Rosa Mortellaro, John Pratt. And the numbers are, respectively, 508-284-8170 or 978-815-7735, 978-491-8241 or 978-290-0646. And, of course, the big thing you could do is donate online, and that would be at GoFundMe.com/BigChris, and that's K-H-R-I-S, Big Chris, all one word. And sounds optimistic, Coach, like we're going to be okay. And the other thing, prayer. The power of prayer works. So if you're inclined out there to pray for Chris and his family, do it.
We had a teacher come back this year, Bonnie Pinkham, and who has battled cancer the last couple of years. And when we asked, there was a group of us in the hallway, and we asked how she was doing, and her eyes lit up, and the smile came, and she announced she was cancer-free. So,
yep. Awesome.
You know, that was just the greatest news. And then we got news that, you know, Chris was a possibility that he would be back this semester. Everybody, you could see people in the faculty just get such an emotional lift from just the hope that that's going to occur, maybe sooner than a lot of people expected.
All right, we'll be right back, and we'll check in with Scott Cooper. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night, and this is MSONewsSports.com, newssports.com, or newsports.com, or newsports.com. You take your pick.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
All right, Wicked Locals, Scott Cooper is on the line now, and Scott working with MSO this year. Scott, pleased to have you aboard. You guys did a great job on Saturday. Good game.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun. You know, anytime you can work with Bill Newell, you have to leave it to chance, I guess.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Swampscott gave it the old college trial in English with just a little bit more in the tank.
Well, it was kind of a tale of two halves, Rick. I mean, Swampscott took a while to get started. They got those two late touchdowns, and then English came right down, and both teams, Swampscott got both their touchdowns, aided by 15-yard penalties, and then Swampscott was called for one whistle, one of a face mask, kept a fourth and short alive for the Bulldogs, and they took it in, and Swampscott ran out of time. So it was a good game, but it took a while for both teams to get going.
Yeah, I think for two first-year head coaches, that was a well-played game, Scott.
Well, the defense, Swampscott's defense and English's defense were both in mid-season form, so I think when the offense catches up, they're going to be tough to play.
What do we make of the Marblehead Walpole score? My guess is that Walpole is pretty good.
Well, I've heard different things from different people. I spoke to the coach, and I spoke to the quarterback, and I spoke to a few folks. Marblehead is kicking themselves because they feel they should have won that game, but they didn't. They, you know, they got a lot of new players in starting spots, and they just, you know, they had five turnovers, so they kind of shot themselves in the foot, and they're kind of a little disappointed that they didn't come home with a win the other night. But, you know, they're going to be at home Friday night against Cambridge, Ringe, and Latin, so hopefully they can pick up a win Friday night.
You know, was it a case, Scott, of maybe Marblehead, some of the players trying too hard to get things done, knowing that, you know, there were a lot of big shoes that had to be filled, that were lost in the graduating class, and, you know, maybe just trying for the extra yard or just over-aggressiveness came back to haunt them rather than playing within themselves and staying within the system and just trying to go a little bit beyond, and that sort of cost them?
I heard it was just inexperience that, you know, guys haven't been in that position, a lot of them, and they were out there, and, you know, mistakes were made, and hopefully they'll learn from those mistakes and be better the next time out. But, you know, you got to take a few lumps, I guess, and that's, you know, it's tough when you're taking your lumps in a game that counts. But, you know, they get a lot of players that are starting and never started before.
Well, you know, certainly when you play a team out of conference, especially like the Red Raiders of Walpole, who've had such, you know, outstanding success over the years, it's a good opportunity to make your mistakes there. So when you get into conference play, you know, you've had an opportunity a week or so to make those corrections without hurting your playoff chances.
Yeah, they have to shake that off. I mean, they feel they should have won that game, but they didn't, and now they got to get ready for Cambridge, Ringe, and Latin, and it's going to be another tough out-of-conference, out-of-league test for them Friday night in Marblehead.
All right, Scott, I listened to you and Bill talk on Saturday and about how many other sports you've seen already. You've been on the go, so give us a thumbnail of what you've seen so far.
Well, I was over at watching Bishop Fenwick field hockey on Friday against Swampscott. They looked very good. It was one zip Fenwick. Swampscott got a goal called back, and then that was it. Kind of took the starch out of them, and they lost 3-0. The Big Blue Boys soccer team is doing very well. They've outscored their opponents 21-5 in three games. They haven't played any games in league play yet, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see when they get into the league. And the girls from Swampscott are also 3-0. Marblehead girls are 3-0. Marblehead boys, I believe, are 2-0. The Marblehead girls field hockey team, even their record at 1-1 the other night with a very nice home win over Peabody. And Coach Linda Rice Collins said they really should have won their first game, a one zip loss to Gloucester, but they just couldn't put the ball in the net. So, but they played very well in both games. So she wasn't incredibly disappointed. I'm sure she would have liked to come away with the win. Both of them, but really nice win at home Saturday night for the Marblehead girls field hockey team.
Very nice. Now, what football game are you going to be covering this weekend?
I'm going to be in Marblehead Friday night, and I'll be with Swampscott on Saturday, so I got a couple of games this weekend.
I've got Swampscott at Classical.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm going to be at Lynn Classical on Friday night. I'm sorry. My mistake. It's the following weekend.
Oh, okay.
Saturday.
All right. Well, we're going to be using you quite a bit this season. I look forward to either working with you or listening to you. But I do appreciate it, Scott, and I do appreciate all the information you get us from that neck of the woods too.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anytime, Rick.
All right, Scott. We will dial you up on next Monday at the very latest.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Scott.
Take care.
Scott Cooper at Wicked Local, who covers primarily Swampscott and Marblehead for the Wicked Local editions down there. But he also worked with Bill Newell on Saturday and did his usual great job, Gino. Did a good job, as he usually does. Very, very knowledgeable young man, and does a good job with writing, too. You know, Tim, I just we got a couple of minutes left here. There's so much more I wanted to talk about, but we just don't have time. Wanted to talk about those young players for the Red Sox, the core five, looking really good. But first,
don't trade them, please.
Let me mention that this weekend we will have Beverly at Gloucester, our video football game on Friday night, and then we will have a doubleheader. You get double duty. Geez, I'm going to have to double your salary. I was waiting for that.
Wait, let me double the laughter.
There you go. All right, Lynn English is playing St. Mary's at Manning Field, and Swampscott is playing Lynn Classical at Manning Field as well. The one thing I would say, Classical, Tim, when you see Classical play, they've got some terrific athletes. They played okay, but it was sort of like, I sort of felt like Gloucester maybe had a little bit of fortune, a good fortune on their side in that they caught this team early. You know how sometimes that happens? A team just isn't quite in sync, and I don't think Classical was quite in sync, but I think they're going to be heard from.
Well, we know that, you know, that generally they have good size along the line. Their backs over the past few years have been both big, fast, strong. It presented an inside threat, an outside threat. Passing game just used to offset the running game, but it's been a power running team. And again, getting an offensive line that maybe has some new components to it in sync with the blocking schemes and breaking in again, because it was a senior laden backfield last year, breaking in new running backs, trying to get all those guys on the same page. You know, after you only have 2 weeks to do it, really. You know, 2 weeks of practice, and that's an awful lot to accomplish in 2 weeks. So, yeah, Classical has a history, you know, of putting it together.
And very impressive. Talk about installing new things, new wing tee offense at Manchester Essex for these kids. And Coach Hutton was saying you should have seen some of the receivers when I told them that we were going to the wing tee. But they won their opening game, and congratulations to Manchester Essex, the kids, and the coaching staff, of course, under Coach Hutton. They won their first game by a score of 11-0. We hope to have him on. We couldn't get him on tonight, but we hope to have him on this week, and we will attempt to do that. It says here 13-0. I thought it was 11-0, but whatever. Manchester Essex winning over Northeast, and that is terrific.
That's a big win. It's the first win in years over Northeast. First time, first win for Coach Hutton, who's on the Beverly staff for the last few years. And Coach Bauer talked about him and his assistant head coach, who also came from Beverly. So they're bringing Roger Day's wing tee. And, you know, as a receiver, you shouldn't feel really bad, because you're still an option. It's mainly a run game, and you've got an important job to block downfield. But every now and then, that pass is going to come popping over the middle when the defensive linebackers check up to try to fill holes. The checkoff is that wide receiver on the slant coming over the middle where there's nobody, and you can run for daylight. Swampscott did it for years. It was, you know, they were mainly pass, but they had the running back who draw the linebackers up, and then that pop pass over the middle, and away they'd go.
So, we could talk all night on the Patriots opening, but give me 30 seconds, your impressions.
Only going to get better. All you had to do to tell the outcome of the game was watch Tom Brady run onto the field before the game, and during the game, as he sat on the bench, his eyes were still the same. The cold, steel, focused Brady that you're going to see every single game this season. He's on a mission, okay, to avenge all the slights to him, to the team, okay, and there are people that they're going to pay a price this year. Everybody says, well, they're not as good as they've been. Well, how good have they been every year when people said they're not that good? They've been really good.
Red Sox, Swihart, Bogarts, give me a minute here, Bradley, Betts, who's the other one? There's one more.
First baseman.
Castillo. Well, Travis Shaw,
Castillo,
yeah.
Shaw.
But I'm thinking, but you've got, talk about all of a sudden strength up the middle. And Tim, we're sitting here, you're talking about Betts, Bogart, and Bradley, the three Bs. All potential 300 hitters?
Oh, yeah.
Now, fast forward, put Swihart at first, get Vasquez behind the plate. Vasquez doesn't need to hit with that lineup. And if,
oh, no.
Big Poppy, 36 home runs, 95 RBIs.
He too, is a man on the mission. You look at his weight, it's down. He's in much better shape. He's healthy. He's driving the ball all over the park. He's just not looking to pull it, but when he gets it middle in, he's turning on it. All right.
Joe Kelly, Rick Porcello. Give me one more. Eduardo Rodriguez.
He's pitching tonight for his 10th win. Where were these guys beginning of the season? Not so much Rodriguez, but where were these guys with their big dollar contracts at the beginning of the season when it really meant something? How could you not be prepared?
They weren't, and they needed coaching. They're still young. Those guys are all young. and look at what Kelly has done. Kelly went to the minor leagues, and came back. And I don't care about pressure. We'll see. We'll see next year. They came back. The main thing is right here. You know that. It's between the ears.
You know, you've been in the league, you know, 4 or 5 years. All those guys came in.
Little difference between Detroit and Boston.
And that's
St. Louis and Boston.
And that's probably the biggest difference is the level of expectation that you take on when you come to Boston to play any sports, because the fans here, the fan bases know the sport. They have, if you sign a big contract, they put that label of high expectation on you. And you just have to go out and perform in the manner in which they got you here. And maybe it's tougher, but you've got to be mentally strong enough to put that behind. And you've got to feed off of that energy. Don't fear the energy. Feed off of it. And these guys were almost scared early on. Now they're pitching much more aggressively. And I think sending Kelly to the minors was a wake-up call.
Absolutely.
This could be the end of my career
He might have gotten some instruction, too.
But you watch where he's pitching. He's pitching just above the knee. 9% of his strikes,
and he's also mixing up his pitches.
Down in the strike zone.
It's not all 98 mile an hour fastball
no,
either.
But that's, you know, don't you come to the team already knowing that? You're pitching the American
League.
You
probably know it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to execute it.
And think of it, you know, I don't know. They're playing better, and they're beating good pitching. They're beating the teams that are in first and second place going to the playoffs.
It's like that Thanksgiving Day game in high school football. It's a carryover, so let's see where it goes. You know, I don't want to get past ski season, but it's going to be interesting next spring.
But what did I tell you early on? Play the young kids. And what are you getting right now? The young kids are showing what they can do.
All right, finally, Dan Bauer this week?
We will have Coach Bauer. I will talk to him Wednesday night. It will be in the box for Wednesday night, Thursday. It'll be an interesting to get his take on Friday night's opener against Wakefield. They played very well, which means it's going to be a war. The kids were asking me today in school, because I have quite a few of the football players, how good is Beverly? I said, they're very good. And I said, Friday night is going to be simply a case of who wants it more.
Okay, that's Tim Kearns. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. I'm Rick Moore. Check out the website. We've got plenty of new interviews, many interviews up there, many more this week. North Shore Today, tomorrow on MSO. This will be at msonewsports.com. So on behalf of Tim, our producer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.